Today we're going to continue our study that we've been doing on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We're going to pick up here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verse 25. And the Word of God has to say, "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." And what I want us to see here is, first of all, is the night here consisted of four watches, 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3, and 3 to 6. In Luke chapter 12, verse 38, it tells us that the Lord could have come in the second or third watch, but Matthew chapter we just read in chapter 14, verse 25 tells us that he did come in the fourth watch. Now, the symbolism is very instructive as it places the return of Jesus at the end of the church age night. The millennial day begins when Jesus, the Son, S-U-N, arises. So it's nighttime until then, with the church being like the moon in Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 10. This means that the church age divides into four separate periods or watches. What's interesting is that the middle of the church age is referred to by historians as the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages, running from 500 AD until 1500 AD. This corresponds to the darkest part of night, from 9 p.m. till 3 a.m. This just happens to be the period in which the Roman Catholic Church ruled Europe. After that comes the Reformation, and then the following way of the last days before Christ returns at the end of the fourth watch. Let's turn now, as we continue looking at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible, let's turn to Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 9. Chapter 15 of Matthew, verse number 9, the Word of God says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." What we want to see is that Christianity is filled with such nonsense. These are the traditions of verse 6, amen, in chapter 15 of Matthew, which says, "And honor not his father or his mother, he will be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition." So these are the traditions here that are verse 6 of Matthew 15. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, which creeps into churches and families, it replaces the Word of God. We have always done it, and everybody else does it, are the two oxen that pull the traditional cart all the way into apostasy and maybe into hell. Amen. All right, let's look at chapter 16 of Matthew in verses 18 and 23. First, verse 18, it says, "And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's look at verse 23 of Matthew 16. It says, "But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Now, this is where the Rome gets her church founding text. See, she claims that Peter is the rock on which Jesus fills the church. However, Peter had a different opinion. Notice what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 8, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Amen. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Besides, Jesus calls Peter Satan only 5 verses later in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23, which makes Peter a pretty rough character for heading up the church. Now, the rock in which the church is built is Jesus Christ and not Peter. Amen? Let's look at some verses with me. First of all, I want us to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10. And when we get to 1 Corinthians 10, let's look at verse 4. The Word of God says, "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Amen and amen. Now let's look at, let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and Deuteronomy chapter 32 with me. And notice what it says in verse 4, first in verse 4 it says, "He is the rock," capital R, "his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right." Rock here, in the context, is God. Amen. Jesus Christ. Look in verse 15 of Deuteronomy 32. It says, "But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed," here it is, "the rock of his salvation." Capital R, rock, referring to Jesus Christ. Verse 18 of Deuteronomy 32, "Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that transformed thee." Again, rock is capitalized. All right, Deuteronomy 32, verses 31 and 32, it says, "For their rock," capital small r, "is not as our rock," capital R, "even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall. Their clusters are bitter." Talking about the heathen, the rock, their rock. It's a false god. It's a small god. Our rock, capital R, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Now let's move on to Matthew chapter 17 in verses 1 through 5. We read this. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter, and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he had spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." Now, what I want us to see about this passage is, Here we have Jesus's transfiguration, or more specifically, Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. Just as the Mount was significant at the Sermon on the Mount, the Mount is significant here also because it speaks of a kingdom, as mountains do all through the Bible. What we have here is a glimpse of Jesus in his glorious kingdom, with Moses and Elijah on his right hand and on his left, just as he tells the mother of Zebedee in Matthew chapter 20, in verses 20 to 23. We read, it says, "Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with his sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. And he said unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." Amen. Alrighty, we're continuing to look at noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. And right now we're in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18 and verses 15 to 18. The Word of God says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, these are the standard rules for handling faults among believers. The general idea is to keep the matter as low profile as possible, with as few people being involved as possible. Notice that it goes before the church last, not first. Of course, some folks just word the problem in a form of a prayer request and take it before the whole church on Wednesday night. Amen. Alrighty, Matthew chapter 19 and verse 28. Matthew 19 verse 28, we read this. "And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." So what we want to see here is, the coming kingdom is a literal, physical, visible kingdom that is to be ruled over by Christ at the top. Then the 12 apostles over the 12 tribes, with Israel being the head of all nations. Alrighty, let's turn to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20 with me, in verses 22 and 23. We read this. The Word of God says, Matthew 20, verses 22 and 23. "But Jesus answered and said, You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. Now here we contain the deep meaning of Christ's cup in his baptism, which are one and the same. Now, the cup is a cup of Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. Let's turn ahead to Matthew 26, verse 39. We're going to read here. It says, "And he went a little farther, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." See, this is the cup that Jesus prayed to avoid, if possible. You see, it was the cup of God's wrath poured out on sinners. Psalm 75, verse 8 says, "For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup. The wine is red, it is full of mixture. He poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them." Christ drank of this cup when he took our place on the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" In Matthew 27, verse 46. As the cup was poured out, Jesus was baptized in the Son and was made sin for us. As we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him." Paul calls this a curse in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. This baptism is pictured by Jonah's experience in Jonah chapter 2. We read, "For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me." Jonah chapter 2, verse 3. It's also pictured by David's experience in the Psalms. We read in Psalm 69, 1-2, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in under my soul. I sink in deep mire, where there is no standing. I have come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me." And then in Psalm 88, verse 7, "Thy wrath lieth hard upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah." It is also described by Jeremiah's words in Lamentation chapter 3, verse 54, which says, "Waters flowed over my head. Then I said, I am cut off." Alrighty, as we continue our study in noteworthy verses from the Holy Bible, we're in the Gospel of Matthew. Let's turn to chapter 21, verse 13. And Matthew 31, verse 13 says, "And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." Now here we have the reference is to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7. So let's turn to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, which the word of God says, "Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." Amen. So the reference here in Matthew 21, verse 13 is a reference, as we just saw, to Isaiah chapter 56, verse 7, where the context is the millennial kingdom. But a good spiritual application can be made for modern churches by applying the term den of thieves. There are people in churches every Sunday who rob God by not tithing, by not yielding themselves to the Lord, by stealing God's glory for themselves when they seek the praise of men, and by stealing God's time with endless Laodicean traditions and nonsense. Truly, many churches are nothing more than den of thieves. Amen. All right, let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22, let's look at verses 37 to 40 together. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is a great memory passage. It sums up the whole Old Testament law under the heading of two great commandments. One Godward, one manward. This then breaks down even further with four of the Ten Commandments being Godward, love God, and six being manward, love thy neighbor. After that comes all the written law of Exodus through Deuteronomy, falling into the two major groups. All right, Matthew 23, verse 9. The word of God says, And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. And this is referring to a religious leader, as father is plainly forbidden by our Lord. Yet the verse has been ignored by the Roman Catholic Church for centuries. Amen. Alrighty, let's look at Matthew chapter 23 here in verse 35. The word of God says this, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. What we want to see here is the blood that runs all the way from the righteous Abel under the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, would cover the entire Old Testament since Zacharias was slain in 2 Chronicles, the 39th and last book of the Hebrew Old Testament, the books being arranged differently. So, according to Jesus, there's no room left for the Apocrypha. Now, let's turn to Matthew 23, where they're already in verse 38. Notice what it says here in Matthew 23. It says in verse 38, Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Now, verses 34 to 39 of this chapter, Jesus is prophesying about the destruction of the temple. So what we want to see here from verse 38 is, so Israel has not had a temple since 70 AD. Amen. Now, let's turn to Matthew 24, verses 13 to 21. We read this. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. In this the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So what we want to see here from this passage, those who worry about enduring to the end need to take a closer look at the context. Jesus is speaking about the Great Tribulation from verse 21, which makes the end of a period of time, not the end of one's life. Every word that Jesus spoke here was an answer to the disciples' question of verse 3, what shall be the sign of thy coming in the end of the world? Now, let's look at some verses, cross-reference here, in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. And in Daniel chapter 12, we want to first look at verse number 4 in Daniel 12. Daniel 12, verse 4, the Word of God has this to say in Daniel 12, verse number 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word, seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Look at verse 6. And one said to the man, clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? All right, the end of the tribulation period. And then in verse 9, or 8 rather, and I heard, but understood not. Then I said, oh, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? See, the end of the world, the end of these things. Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end, meaning the end of the world. And then verse 13, but go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of those days. So remember, the context of Matthew 24 is the tribulation period. Amen. And that enduring to the end has nothing to do with you and I. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. Amen. Doesn't, in the context, has nothing to do with you and I. Enduring to the end during the tribulation is not taking the mark of the beast. Amen. And having the, keeping the commandments and having the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, we have a few more places to look here in the book of Matthew as we've been doing our study on noteworthy verses in the Holy Bible. We're just about run out of time, so I don't want to, next time we pick up, we'll be looking at chapter 25 of Matthew, the first 13 verses. But again, as we go through the study, I want to remind folks that are listening that this study will be available, the entire study, once we get through of it, available on CD. And if you'd like to have your own copy, you can just email me at the address that's given at the end of each one of my broadcasts. And then again, I want to invite people, if you haven't already, to look at my website, visit my website, All the Counsel of God. Run it all together, allthecounselofgod.com. Many great Bible lessons and studies there for you. Thank you for listening today. May God richly bless you is my prayer, and good day.